Welcome to the podcast. My name is Lauren Porter, and this is the Roarcast podcast. Now, some of you may remember us as the Sasscast podcast hosted by Lauren Porter and Devin Hunt, but First Year Programs has claimed independence, and we are now our own organization. So we are now the Roarcast podcast, and we also have lost Devin. He has graduated, and he is on to bigger, better things. So I have two lovely individuals who have both studied abroad and done internships. One study abroad here at Lindenwood. The other study abroad at a different school. So if you both wouldn't mind, please introduce yourself, your major, your year, and what organizations you are part of.
You want to go first?
Okay, I can go first. My name is Jill Jokel. I am a senior this year. I am a social work major, and I am a part of the Panhellenic community. I'm a part of the Catholic Student Union, and I was also a Lion leader this year, which is how I met these ladies here.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm Alexia Prudencio, and I'm from Bolivia, South America. I'm double majoring in international relations and mass communication, and I'm also doing a minor in nonprofit administration. I'm a junior this year, finally, and I'm part of many organizations, but basically the student government. I'm the director of DEI, then Phi Sigma Sigma, and the International Relations Organization, and I was also a Lion leader, so that's how we all met.
Well, I knew you before Lion leader.
Well, yeah, that's true.
I'll also introduce myself for those of you who don't know. My name is Lauren Porter. Sorry, I'm a double major with a BFA in stage management, a BA in business administration, with a minor in digital marketing and nonprofit administration. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a mouthful. I am also a junior, and I am currently a part of Lindenwood's Tree Huggers, which is an organization dedicated to, you know, making the world a better place when it comes to recycling. I'm also a part of a new organization that hopefully will become an official organization, Alexia, called LU Girl Power. Please vote for me.
Yes.
Thank you. So that's a little bit about me. But let's get to the real point of this podcast episode. So both of you studied abroad at some point during your college years. So where did you go?
I went to Austria, and then I stayed there for about 3 weeks, and then I was in Rome, Italy, and Assisi, Italy as well for a week.
And I also went to Austria, but I did my internship for 2 months in Vienna. I travel a bit with the organization. It's called Service Civic International, and they took me to some other countries like Kosovo, and so on. So
that's cool.
Yeah,
it's always fun. You guys gotta go to Europe and just travel around there. Yes. So what did you do while you were there, and why did you go? Like, what made you say, I want to travel abroad? Well, you already traveled abroad, Alexia, because you're here. But what made you want to travel internationally, a part of study abroad? Like, what made you say, this is what I should do with my money, and this is what I should do with my time?
For me, it was mainly, I've never been in Europe before, so I wanted to have that experience. And then I saw that Lindenwood offered study abroad programs as well as internships for the summer. And so I just decided this is the time to travel, and this is the time to kind of like get that experience. And what a better way to do it than do an internship too, because it also helps you professionally. So.
What did you do at that internship? What was your, like, responsibilities?
Many things. So I was doing my internship in the Austrian branch of the organization, and they put me to, like, everything from social media, Then I did like grant writing for the European Union fundings and for other organizations. Then I created the brand guidelines for the branch because they didn't have one. I helped fund the an event that they do once a month, the activist meetings. So they get together with different activists from different issues. It could be refugees, environmental protection, women's rights, and stuff like that. So I work with that too. And then I also managed the volunteers, took them places, make sure that they were okay and that they were safe. And yeah.
Nice. And then Jill?
Well, I wanted to study abroad. I'm on kind of the opposite end of the spectrum here. I'm a commuter student, and so this was my first time away from home for a good amount of time. I've been on, trips and plenty of other retreats and stuff like that far away, but never for that extended period of time. And I had always kind of talked to adults who had already graduated college, and they were I wish I had studied abroad, or they were if you get the chance, do it. It's a great time to do it. And so just looking at that, looking at my schedule for graduation and stuff like that, I did it over the summer, and it worked out great for me because I went with Franciscan University, and they offered the one-month program, which I thought was perfect because I didn't want to do a whole semester. I really enjoy being involved here on Lindenwood's campus. So, yeah, I decided to invest my time and money into studying abroad, and took a class over there and got to meet people from all over. And also fun fact is, the place where we stayed was hosting Ukrainian refugees who were, basically without a home anymore. And so there were a lot of women and children who stayed with us while I was abroad. And we got to meet them and talk with them, and it was just a really special experience.
That's really cool. That's cool that you were able to meet, all these different people during your internship. Because while you were there, were there other international students who were there to, study abroad?
So for me, I went with this program that does the same for, other universities. So they have other internships. We were about 50 people on the hotel that we were staying at a hotel that were doing internships with the same program. So everybody was from the U.S., though I was the only double international student. But yeah, I got to meet people from all over the U.S. That were part of a program. And then I was also able to meet the amazing volunteers from the organization and then we also had workshops, so other people from all over Europe and also Africa and Asia came for the workshops and the volunteer opportunities. So I got to meet them and made a lot of friends.
That's awesome. What about you, Jill?
Well, can you repeat what question you want me to answer?
No, that's really fine. My question was, what people did you meet while you were in the internship? Were they from the U.S. as well, or did you meet people who went with you who were international? What type of people did you meet?
Okay. So with the program itself, there were people from, I'd say, a lot of people were scattered United States residents, and then, like I said, we had people who were refugees from Ukraine, and then there were people who lived in Austria that also stayed with us. And then along the way, we also had some tour guides join us who were from each country. So there were people from Germany, people from Italy, people from Austria. So it was really interesting to, kind of get to meet people from all different areas because I hadn't really had experience with that, especially while traveling.
That's cool. Now with, you're going to a different country. Was there culture shock for you personally? Did you notice, when you went somewhere else that you're this is not what I was expecting. They do things very differently. When I was in Massachusetts, I was in a place full of theater people and very, very stereotypical theater people. And I was whoa, I just came back, or I was just from Missouri, and here you are all so mad about different politics things. And I was like, this is interesting. This is new. And it took me a while to get used to it. So for you guys, was the same thing happening to y'all?
For me, for Ligio, agrees with me. It was the staring in Vienna and like in Austria. People would like stare at you all the time. It's just like we had at the beginning of the program, we had like a cultural like explanation that the program gave us. And they were like, okay, this staring is like something that people in Austria do. So like just be comfortable with it. It's not like they're kind of mean or anything. It's just like a thing they do. And then also that on the electrical stairs, you have to stay on the ride if you don't want to like walk down the stairs. And if you actually want to walk, you have to go to the left. So if you don't stay on the side that you have to, they kind of like get mad at you and they're like, oh, like what's happening?
That's so funny. My friend Valentina was telling us all about that because she was saying like, you guys can't take up the whole escalator. And I was like, what? Like we had a very Americanized view. Like we're just going to do whatever. But yeah. She's like, no, you have to stand on one side and walk on another side. But yeah, in regards to like the culture, like people can definitely tell when you're not a local. Mm-hmm. So they can tell. And then another thing that's random, but I thought was somewhat of a culture shock was I wasn't used to carrying coins around with me, but you have to pay to go to the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
Like everywhere.
Wait, do they put ice in the water? I heard they don't.
No.
It's just
no ice.
Temperature water?
It's like chilled, but yeah. It's not like iced water or anything.
That is unfortunate.
But the bathrooms were definitely. I was like, I miss peeing for free.
And then water for free, too. Yeah.
Do you have to pay for water?
Yeah. Wow. Like tap water. You gotta pay for it.
But sometimes they'll give it to you in like a nice like glass bottle.
Yeah.
They did that. Like when you pay for it, they'll give it in the.
It's fancy.
It's fancy water.
Yeah.
They're making sure they, oh, at least you get fancy water if you pay.
I don't think I'd be willing to pay for fancy water either.
Might as well just get a drink or something else
than
water.
Exactly. So speaking of paying, I know a lot of students don't even think about study abroad because they're like, oh, I can't afford it, or oh, it's going to be like thousands and thousands of dollars. So how did your school and how did Lindenwood help you pay for this for you, Alexia? Like how did they provide you anything? Did they help you find scholarships? Like how was that process?
So I, first when you go to the office for study abroad, they explain to you like all your choices and all the options you have, like if usually like studying abroad for an entire semester is cheaper than going for the summer, but because you get you can use your scholarship from the university in the university abroad, nice. So you actually end up paying less. But for the summer program, because I cannot go over for an entire semester, for the summer program, you can apply for scholarships to study abroad from Lindenwood. And then I also got a scholarship from the program that I went with. So they also gave me some money for that. There's plenty of like opportunities to get funding. So yeah.
Cool.
That's really interesting that the whole semester was cheaper for you, because I know being a transient student and going with a different university, I didn't have, like, scholarships at the other university. Okay. But I knew, like, oh, if I just do the summer program, it's going to be cheaper, because it was way cheaper at Franciscan to do the summer program. And, you know, if anyone wants to do the full semester, you know, I'm sure there's students who can get a scholarship. But I was just kind of interested in doing something shorter and not have to pay as much regarding classes and all the time spent over there. So it was helpful to have that option and to be able to kind of make payments on a smaller total.
Nice. Now, the other thing is, you know, when you go to a different country, you know, you have to pay for stuff. Nothing is free. I wish. Wouldn't that be nice, though? So how exactly did you budget? Like, you were, Jill, you were only there for, like, a couple of weeks, but Alexia, you were there for, what, 2.5 months?
Yeah.
So how did you budget and, like, figure out how to survive 2.5 months or a couple of weeks in a different country, especially because their money system is different than ours?
Yeah, well, when I was there for like a total of a month or maybe a little over a month, budgeting was definitely something I kept in mind, you know, going into it, especially, and even after, you know, coming home. I tried to do a credit card because it's way easier to like not have to worry about like the transfer rate and stuff like that. So I did a credit card that I got beforehand, and it was, like, travel-friendly, and so I talked with my bank about that. And then I just budgeted based on, like, what is, you know, something necessary that I should get, like, something I consider necessary would be, like, maybe trying a new food in the country I'm in. But something unnecessary would be, like, getting snacks at some random, like, gas station along the road, like, we stopped at or something like that. So, like, just trying to keep my spending a little lower and not indulging in everything I wanted necessarily, and just kind of, you know, exhibiting that self-control. I also didn't buy a lot of merchandise from, like, where we visited. So I would go, but I wouldn't find, like, a t-shirt in Rome or, like, a t-shirt in Vienna. Like, every time, like, I kept that spending to a minimum as well.
For me, I think I was naive because I didn't know, since it was my first time in Europe, how much should I bring, or like how should I kind of like spend the money in the way that I usually, when I travel, for example, to South American countries, I bring my money cash so I can like exchange it in the country,
mm-hmm.
Like US dollars, and then exchange it to the monetary. So I thought, and I did the same thing to go to Vienna. But what I didn't know is that to exchange cash in Vienna or in like Austria in general, they take 20% out of everything. Mm-hmm. So if I gave them like 100 US dollars, I would get like 80 euros, even right. though the euro and the US dollar had the same rate right now.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it's like it's very similar for the first time in like I don't know how many years.
Yeah, I saw that news article like right when I got back. It was the euro and the US dollar were the same.
Yeah, which is crazy because it was, so it will benefit anyone with US dollars, but they took 20%. So I was going crazy because I was like, it's 20% of everything I buy. So I had like all my money in cash, but I had to ask my parents like, hey, can you send me money to my like debit card? And then I would like give it back to you when I go to go back to the US. Mm-hmm. Because with the debit card, you only get like 6%, like when you use it outside the country kind of thing. So I did that for my entire trip. And I had to give the money back to my parents after, but that was kind of like naive for me. So it's definitely something that you have to research before you go. What's the best way to like do stuff and spend money. But then when it comes to budgeting, I actually, everything is much cheaper in like Europe than in the US, like for me, and I wouldn't go to the most expensive restaurants or places. I would usually buy food from the supermarket. Like you can buy an entire bowl of food for like €3. So like US dollars. Yeah. And everything was so much cheaper when it comes to food. So I definitely had the chance to like don't spend that much in that kind of stuff. And then I also I didn't buy like things for myself that much, like clothes or like gifts for myself. It was mostly like for my family and for friends.
Mm-hmm.
That I did that for like, and I didn't buy stuff in Vienna or like Austria in general. I usually I bought everything at the end of my trip when I was like in Greece or Italy, because I knew that I had the money to spend on it. So
it was nice that things were cheaper though,
yeah,
because like I remember getting an ice cream and they were like it'll be like 1 euro yeah. or something. And I was like, what? Like here, yeah. here we're like, you get ice cream and it's like $4.99.
Exactly. Or you go to the supermarket and here you spend 100 and there is like 45 and you're like, what?
It was helpful.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, that sounds wonderful, actually. Maybe I should study abroad.
You should.
Mm-hmm. That's funny. I have too much stuff. I actually am considering doing an internship, but it would have to be like a summer internship, because mm-hmm. just like Alexia and yeah. just like you, we have too much stuff to do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so what was something that was super exciting about studying abroad, and what was something super terrifying about studying abroad?
Something exciting for me is I went in not knowing, like, a single soul there. I was just, like, you know, a Linwood student with the Franciscan students, and then about a third of the students in my group were transient, so they were from other universities. So I met, like, my roommate, actually, over there. She goes to Georgia Tech, so, you know, I got to meet people from other universities, but it was still, like, I didn't know anyone. So that was exciting to, like, get to meet people, get to see all new faces, and now I'm still in contact with, you know, a good number of them. And it was exciting to just get to go off on my own and just explore all these new countries while also learning and, like, taking classes. And that was probably the most exciting part for me.
Now, terrifying.
The most terrifying part was probably, I don't know what happened, but I got really sick at the end of my trip. So I think the most terrifying part was, like, traveling alone while sick, and that was bad. And sometimes it was, like, don't get me wrong, I did enjoy, like, being there and meeting new people, but sometimes it was terrifying, like, almost like being alone in a way, like, I'm the only person that went from Linwood, like I said, and so that was terrifying. But I think it was worse to, like, have to travel alone and be sick at the same time. That was
have your parents there to take care
right?
of you.
I know, many phone calls yeah. to my parents while I was sick. I was like, oh, I don't feel good.
For me, the best thing was the same, like, meeting people, and also, like, having the time to be by myself and, like, get to know me a little bit better too, in a different environment. So I love that, and, like, being able to meet people from different cultures, and also see how, like, adaptable am I in those different environments. Yeah, made great memories, met, like, incredible people that I actually, like, love so much right now, and I'm gonna go visit them probably fall break to Colorado, some of them. So yeah, the terrifying thing, I don't think, like, anything was, like, terrifying for me. It was more just, like, you know, like, the time difference with my parents. It was like 7-8 hours, so we would not be able to talk every day that I usually do when I'm here in the U.S.
That's cute.
And then my dad got sick, so I was, like, scared that I couldn't talk to him, or, like, they were not actually, like, telling me everything. Mm-hmm. But then I feel like everything went as it should have been,
including getting stuck
in Rome for four
Rome.
Days.
For 4 days.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Oh, poor Alexia, stuck at the beach.
Aww. Now, wait a second.
It was a resort, okay? Not a beach.
Oh, I'm so sorry. A resort
forgive
in
us.
Rome. I am so sorry.
That's so funny, though.
Stuck. So sorry, quotes. Justin. I got stuck in Rome. Can't go to sleep.
Hey, my plane almost crashed. What are you talking about?
Oh,
my
no, goodness. It didn't.
Yeah.
No.
I'm going to show you videos. But
okay. There were malfunctions in the plane.
No, it was the right engine was on fire.
That's horrifying.
Yeah.
But you were still on the ground.
And no, I was on the air.
You're telling me?
Oh, my gosh. I didn't tell you that.
No, you said you were in. I thought you were on the ground.
No, we were in the air. And they were like, there's like a maintenance issue. They told us that. And so we have to go back to Rome. And I was like, okay. But then you could see, like, the flight attendants' faces, that they were, like, freaking out. Like, you could see they were scared. So I was like, okay, like, something is wrong. But they didn't say anything. They were like, it's a maintenance issue.
And then we went back. We like the plane was kind of like leaning to the left, kind of thing. Gosh. So was it the right? Yeah, the right. And then we got and like to Rome. Everything was like fine. But then like the paramedics came in the plane because like some flight attendants like passed out in the bag. And then like the fire department was also there, and then they told us, "Oh, it's good that we came back, cause like the right engine failed," and we were like, "Oh, thank you." And they kept us in a hotel for like 4 days.
Point out how Alexia just said there was really no terrifying part for me, and she describes this.
All right, I go back. I take it back. That was terrifying. I was, from my impression, her plane had some malfunctions and couldn't fly. And so she had to stay in Rome in a resort in a bathing suit in a nice pool. Sponsored
by American Airlines.
Hey.
That's nice they paid.
American Airlines.
My flight, one of them got delayed and they had to pay for my hotel. Yeah. That's when I was also sick on the way home, which is like, ugh. But they paid for my hotel. Sponsored by Delta.
Oh my gosh, I love Delta. Flying back from Massachusetts, I flew just Delta, and it was amazing because they now have TVs on their.
They did,
and I was like, what? "Yeah, I was able to watch the new Sandra Bullock movie with her in this pink purple jumpsuit. Don't know what it's called. I remember her outfit. It was very cute. And then another movie with Tom Holland from Spider-Man. Uh-huh. Oh, I was watching Spider-Man.
Were you watching Spider-Man?
See, here's the thing. I have always wanted to watch Spider-Man, but I've never wanted to pay to watch Spider-Man, right?
Okay.
And it's non-Disney Plus, which is weird because it's Disney.
It is weird.
And so you can't watch it on Disney Plus. So I was like, okay, I'll watch. So I watched the third movie on the plane, but I haven't seen one and two.
That's so funny. That's
something I do.
I'm caught up now. I'm able to piece the things together. So, but yeah. Love the planes.
Mm-hmm. Plane issues.
Mm-hmm. See, I love planes. You know what I will never ride? A boat.
Boats. I was actually on a ferry.
Boats?
For 6 hours.
Oh, okay.
How was it?
It was something.
Here's the thing. I logically know how boats work, right? Yes. You know, there's air, there's an engine, it moves on water. But like how? Like I cannot personally wrap it around my brain that a boat is safe. I've seen Titanic too many times. And if you see the photo of the Titanic versus the newest, best cruises, it's like 3 times the size. You basically have a city on a boat and you're like cruising down the ocean. Like how? How?
I don't understand how.
Physics.
Or airplanes for that matter. How does something that heavy get in the sky?
See, that makes sense to me. Just momentum. That's what I'm telling myself. Momentum. See, this is the reason why I'm going to ace my meteorology class, is because I understand science. Yeah, I understand science. I just took a test to figure out meteorology. Did you know the reason why we're called STL is actually because of airplanes?
No.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
So, like, you know how, like, the initials STL? Is because of airplanes. Like they, communication, so everyone knows where you're, I don't know.
Or it's like, you mean the shortened version of St. Louis?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I do not mean that meteorology is the reason why we're called St. Louis, because that would be dumb. I mean, the shortened version is because of, you know, planes and trains.
Makes sense.
Obviously, I'm doing great in my meteorology class. Yeah.
Let me know how that goes.
Thanks for the lesson.
Don't trust anything I said. I read the chapters. I don't think I've comprehended the chapters.
Oh, that's there's a difference.
I'm joking. I love
hey.
You.
Hey.
Lauren's giving her a death stare across the table right now. For yeah. Listeners.
Oh, hush. Okay. All right. So my second to last question is, would you change anything about your experience?
I'd not get sick. Am I good? I would 100%. I don't know what it was. It wasn't COVID. I will tell y'all that. It wasn't COVID. Took COVID tests, was negative. Multiple COVID tests, in fact. And I just don't know what it was. But They say once one person gets sick in everybody. The Cartauza, that's where that place where we stay is called the Cartauza, mm-hmm. everyone's sick. And so there was like something going around. So I just, ugh. I caught the sickness, oh. got the bug, and I would change that, I'd say. I think I'd prioritize my time traveling a little differently. Because I was over there for just a month, they would like kind of squeeze in trips on the weekend. And so I think maybe plan out or at least like take some more time to like sit and relax where I was rather than like racing around and being like, I have to see as much as I can. Mm-hmm. I'd rather like be present in one spot for a longer time than see a bunch of stuff mm-hmm. for a short amount of time.
I agree. I wouldn't change anything. It was actually one of the smoothest trips I had in my life, because usually when I travel, something happens to me. But this trip was just perfect, and I love that. So,
including Rome,
mm-hmm. yeah. I mean, there was like some stuff that was like bad, but like I wouldn't change it because it's part of experience. So, yeah,
it's memories. It is true. All right. Well, I guess when me and my mother finally do decide to go to Europe, like we were supposed to back in 2020. I know, and then I got busy, so now we all schedule it. But anywho, so I will contact y'all, because I think we might want to go to Vienna.
Yes.
Sounds good.
Or Ireland.
I almost went there on the way home, but again, was not able to. Sick.
You know, there's all the rest of your life. You can still go.
I know. I think I might see the cliffs.
See, my goal is by the time I turn 25 to visit all 50 states. And then by the time I'm 50, to visit all 7 continents besides Antarctica, because I don't want to go to hang out with penguins in the.
Love that.
You want to go to Antarctica with the penguins?
Yeah. I'll go sure. with you.
Says the woman who wears a freaking trench coat, snow coat when it's below 50 degrees. One of my favorite memories of Alexia is in the middle of winter, I come out to go get food at Evans in shorts and a t-shirt, and I'm like, eh, she's here. 2 winter jackets on, a scarf around her face, like just freezing her butt off.
And you're like, I'll go to Antarctica.
And I was leaving like right next to them.
Okay, so obviously if you go to Antarctica, we're going to have to work on your, you know, cold thermometer.
Thermometer.
I don't know. I like cold tolerance better.
I like cold thermometer. I like that. That's a good one.
You know, sometimes words are hard.
Yes.
So, okay. Now, my last question, the question I ask everyone, is what advice would you give to students who are considering or wanting or planning on going to an international abroad trip/internship?
Well, I would say, I know people might want to, but they feel like it's, you know, cost is a main issue. Don't try to force it if you are going to, like, have mm-hmm. financial issues with it. I'd say to, like, try and work it out, definitely, because it is a great experience that I recommend people do, just to experience another culture, experience another country. But again, like, I wouldn't want to be like, oh, everyone should do it no matter what, because not everyone can financially afford it. And like, it is definitely a blessing that I was able to afford it. But if someone, you know, is planning to and is able to afford it, I'd say try to do like a little research. I didn't do a whole lot. Franciscan was pretty good at giving us information, and my contact there was great at giving me all the information I needed. But if you feel like you don't know, like, yeah, just kind of be prepared in the basics and stuff like that, like regarding money, the food available over there, because I'm vegetarian. And so, you know, Germany is a lot of meat. Mm-hmm. So, but I was able to, of course, easily kind of get around that. But yeah, no bratwurst for me.
It's okay. They have sauerkraut.
Isn't that meat?
No, like the sauerkraut.
I think it is.
No, like the sauerkraut, like the, it's literally cabbage and like pickle juice. And
oh, that.
So it's basically the topping for us, uh-huh. for a bratwurst, but you could just eat that straight.
Yeah. No, I remember people saying that they had it and it was with meat, or they put it like on it and they were like, it's so good. But I didn't have like just the topping. But maybe I should go back and have it.
Just eat it. Just go to an Oktoberfest and just have some of that.
Oh, that's what I'll do. Easy enough. I'll go down to Main Street.
Yes.
Just grab some. But yeah, that's my advice.
For me, I think that what she was saying about financially, like some people cannot afford it. That was my case too. But I don't be like afraid to ask for more funding from the university or from the program you're going with. Because there is money and there is funding for you. They gave me like both fundings. They gave me like less than what I needed, and I asked them if I could get more, and I actually got more scholarship money. So that's something that you should definitely do. It doesn't hurt to ask. So that's one thing. And then the other one is if you actually want to go and if you're actually going abroad, just immerse yourself in that experience. And don't be afraid of like going out of your comfort zone, because that's what going abroad is all about. Getting yourself out of that like comfort zone and like being open-minded about like how things are done and all the experiences you can have. Something I did abroad was saying yes to everything, mostly everything, the healthy things. So every experience I had, like when someone would invite me to go to a festival or to go to travel to another city, I would say yes. And I would just like have the best experiences by just saying yes to things that come my way. So.
But
healthy ones.
Keep your spidey senses on.
Kay? Yes, agreed.
Spidey just, senses always. Mm-hmm. Just pay attention if you go internationally. Actually, just in general, spidey in senses. General. Always on.
Yes.
Listen to your gut feeling. And on that note, I want to thank both of you for being here on the Roar podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Love you.
Yeah. I tolerate you. Kiss. All right. Well, thank you again so much and have a great day. And don't forget, we are the Roar podcast. Stay roaring.